Sylvia and me.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Upper Deck, the national full-service virtual gym that has reinvented the at-home workout experience. Upper Deck has more than 30 strength and cardio classes a week. Named Best Fitness Club in the Gold Coast for 2020, Upper Deck brings the gym to you with live coaching and motivation. Upper Deck's unique classes are interactive. They have two coaches, one leading your workout and one keeping her eyes on you, providing feedback and encouragement in real time. For a free week of unlimited virtual classes with no strings attached, email info@upperdeckfitness.com and let Upper Deck know you're a Sylvia and Me listener. Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Welcome to Sylvia and Me. I've been looking forward to this. My name is Persis Lavarack. I am spending the summer at my summer community in Sorrento, Maine, which is down east Maine. And my birthday is next week. I'm going to be 93.
Congratulations. And we are taping this just a few days before, and we are going to look to hear this right around the time of your birthday.
Oh, my gracious. That's
wonderful.
Because
guess what? You deserve it. I think that, and people will understand why I'm saying this as we get talking, you are going to be 93. And the number hasn't stopped you from doing whatever you, right. Not whatever you want to do. You're not going to go skiing on one of those mountains that we talked about. But you keep yourself busy. I'd like to, at first, get into some of your background. What did you do? You were a teacher,
I grew up outside of Boston, and I went to the Newton Public Schools, and then my parents sent me to Buckingham School in Cambridge in the third grade, and I was there for 5 years. And then I went to the Windsor School in Boston, which is an all-girls, the finest school in Boston. And then I went to Vassar for 4 years. And after Vassar, I was blessed that the Newton Public Schools offered me a job, and I taught the second grade, having never taught a day in my life. And without a teacher's certificate, I walked into a classroom, not with 25 students waiting for me, but 38.
Wow.
And that was my beginning of my career.
A long career, too,
A long career. I've been very, very fortunate. I mean, I don't mean that it's been handed to me. I've had to work to get it. But I wanted to work, and it was very important for our family financially that I worked.
Well, what year did you start working?
I started working in 1949, and I worked in the Newton Public School System for 3 years until I was tenured. And then I wanted to try working in an independent school with smaller classes. And I was so fortunate, I went to the Chapin School on East End Avenue in New York City, and I taught the fourth grade there. And I continued, I know what happened. Bill proposed, and what did I do but go and break my contract? And then I realized I was bored. Bill was off at work, and I was at home writing thank you notes. So I substituted in the New York schools. I did that for several years until Billy was born. And then my husband was offered that he was working at an independent school in New York City. He was offered the opportunity to start a school in central Massachusetts. So we went together to do that in 1957.
Wow. I mean, 1949, not a lot of women. It wasn't an accepted, thought of that women should go out and work. And you worked after your children, you worked when you had your children, and you and your husband did something together.
Exactly. And of course, Working at the school where Bill started, our house was right next door to the school. And so I was able to go over and teach. If I taught in the fourth grade, then Bill could figure out how to have the four members of his faculty have a free period. The school opened with 41 children and four faculty plus Bill and me.
Wow.
But then Bill said to me one night, "Oh, Persis, you know, we're going to be serving luncheon, so we're going to need to have a cook. And we're going to have to have somebody who will plan the meals and order the food. Would you be willing to do that?" And so, you know, the kitchen's never been my long suit, but I did that. And it was a lot of fun. Although the Board of Trustees forgot to pay me for 2 years.
All right. So you don't let something that you haven't done before stop you from going and doing.
No, that's a good thought. No, I don't.
That's a great thing. And I know that you've done a lot of traveling. You also don't let a number stop you from doing things that at a certain age, as I said, mentioned before, no, you're not going to ski down a mountain, but there are other things that you can do. As a matter of fact, you've been to several continents, and did a safari in Africa. When was that?
Well, we did that one for my 85th birthday. I took Billy, Elizabeth, and Tom, and we went to Tanzania. And I was so lucky. I knew of a woman who planned trips at the Philadelphia Museum. And she'd happened to tell me once, if you ever want to go to East Africa, be sure to speak to me because I know the best guide. So Nigel took us, and we spent 2 weeks with him in Tanzania.
Okay.
And when I turned 90, Bill, Liz, and Tom and I went to Iceland because that was a very easy flight from Boston.
And those are your children, Bill, Liz, and
Tom. Yes.
Yes. Okay, Iceland at the age of 90. Not too shabby.
But when the children were young, one night I can remember we were cooking hamburgers, Bill and I. And I said, "Oh, Bill, we're never going to have enough money to travel." He said, "Why not?" Well, I said, "Well, we're teachers and we have the three children. And don't you want to see the world?" "Oh, yes," he said. And he thought up the idea that we could rent houses wherever we went, and we wouldn't have to pay for hotels and restaurants. And so that's what we did.
Wow.
And here in this house, not in this room, but in this house, I have a wall with pictures of all the houses we've rented.
Must be a big wall.
You know, they're about 70.
Wow.
But there have been repeats.
Okay. What was one of your favorite places?
Without question, New Zealand. And we rented the same house there 3 winters.
Oh, nice.
Because if you go to New Zealand in the 1st of February, that's their summer, the heart of their summer.
Okay.
We should have bought a house, but we never could.
Should have, could have, would have. It's the old saying. So now you're in Maine. You're in your summer home right now. And we're going through something that, have you in all of your years ever gone through anything like this pandemic and the quarantine?
No. In fact, my own daughter's a doctor on Mount Desert, and she comes over here and she won't come into the house because she's so near COVID in her work. So when she comes over, she wears a mask and we sit outside.
Okay.
It's a very different world, isn't it?
Very different.
The most vulnerable age, so they want me to be careful.
Well, of course they do.
Right.
Now, when the pandemic first hit, where you're living, not where you are now in your summer place, but where you reside for the rest of the year, it's a retirement home. And what did they do? They had, I wouldn't say lockdown, but you were quarantined.
I live in a community of about 250 people. and they're about 200 in staff. And I haven't checked this week, but up until a week ago, there were no cases as yet. But we were in lockdown, I mean real lockdown, until about a month ago. And they've relaxed it a bit. We can now go out and do errands if we want to, but nobody can come into the facility from the outside world. My children can't come into my apartment.
Okay.
It's a lovely place.
One of the things that I wanted to mention is one of your routines is getting in your car, because you do drive, getting in your car, going to, I don't know where you go to, but wherever it is, you pop the trunk, you take out your walker, and you go for it. Was a 2 mile walk. Now, as you mentioned, you do a mile in the morning and a mile in the afternoon. Right. A lot of people can't do half a mile. And it's something that you do. Why is it important for you to be not only so mobile, but to get out and do that?
Well, if I give it up, you know what happens. Then I won't be able to do it again. So I keep at it, and everybody can see me coming with my red wheelie. and also it's wonderful because at my retirement community, if I get out and walk, because you wear your mask,
right?
But I'd see people, and we'd stand 6 feet apart, and we'd talk. So that would bring people into my life each day, which is very, very important to me. I've always worked with people.
Well, let's go back a step, because I did jump ahead a little. In those 3 months of lockdown where you basically really didn't see people, what did you do? You did something really special during that time. And it had to do with Facebook, with connecting, with it. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, what I did, other than reading and doing some writing, each day I'd think of somebody I hadn't been in touch with for a while, and I would call that person. Now, as a matter of fact, yesterday's person, I thought of someone. He's a pediatrician in Atlanta, Georgia, and he and his wife and I had been on the same trip to China together. And I'm going to say it was in 2006, and I hadn't been in touch with them, because they live in Atlanta, Georgia. So I call them up. That's the kind of thing I love to do. So I talk to them for about a half an hour, and that really made my day.
And the other thing that I know that you do is if one of your peers, one of your college friends or classmates or a friend is no longer living, you track down their relatives. In fact, didn't you track down a young man whose father you knew? It took you about 7 months to track him down. And why don't you explain what you've set out to do?
Well, I went out with a wonderful man whom probably I should leave nameless when we were in college. He was at Yale and I was at Vassar. And so I saw quite a bit of him. It wasn't a love affair, but we really liked each other. And I knew that he'd had a baby. So about 2 months, 6 weeks ago, I decided I'd find the baby. And what had happened, 5 days before the baby was born, the father died. So the father never knew his baby. Well, I found the baby. He now lives in Arizona, and he's 68 years old. And in fact, he's going to call me tonight at 5 o'clock. So I found him and we're in touch.
And you were able to tell him things about his dad that he never knew.
He'd never known, right. I don't understand that.
Well, it's connecting. It's connecting people and giving them some kind of history that they didn't know they were missing. And isn't that wonderful? What a beautiful thing to do.
I love doing it. Now I've got a new friend in Arizona. Yes.
There you go. And,
right.
And when you said you're writing, I know you're big on writing thank you notes, but you've also kind of been writing, you wrote some sort of memoir, didn't you?
I did do that. And I went to Staples and they bound, I wrote two different books, one in 2010 and one in last year. And there Staples bound them for $3, I think, and 60 cents each. That's done. So I kind of lost an interest in writing this year until a grandson called me up and said, Grandma, I want you to keep writing. I said, I don't know what to write about. He said, all right, I'm going to give you 5 words to write about. Oh, I said, oh, Sam. And I said, why don't you just give me 1 word and we'll see how it goes. And the first word he gave me was awe, A-W-E. And that was wonderful. I wrote for pages about, well, probably the highlight, no, not the highlight, but one of the great times I have felt awe in my life is walking into Chartres Cathedral in France in the afternoon when the sun is coming through the western windows, that beautiful Chartrian blue windows. Well, I finished awe. Okay. Said it to Sam. Oh, Sam says, that's wonderful, Grandma. Now I want you to go on. I'm going to give you your second word. And the second word is fear. That was a tough one.
Wow.
And my first story was when I was 3 years old. A mother and a man came into my bedroom. I was sick. I was really feeling sick. And he had this huge balloon. And I was scared to death of this huge balloon. He put it down on the bed beside me. And then he said, Persis, this balloon is going to help you. And the balloon was a balloon I did not know. It was a balloon of ether. And the next day, my mother and father and the doctor and whoever else was there took the kitchen table. We had a big kitchen table, put it in my parents' bathroom. And they put me to sleep with that big, huge balloon. And I had a double mastectomy. Not mastectomy. You know, when you have your ears, mastoid.
Okay.
A double mast. A little different from a mastoid.
Yeah, at 3 years old, I would hope
not. And, oh, dear, I was so scared. And I wore this huge bandage for weeks. And I had to have my pigtails cut off. Think of it. Now there's penicillin, you see.
Now there's penicillin. There wasn't back then. So in all the decades that you have lived, you started off in 1927. What is the most memorable that you can think of?
Oh, World War II. Because I was personally affected because I knew two young men who died. And their families are very good friends of our family. And I'd listen, you know, mother and daddy, the radio, you can imagine what it looked like, kind of this big brown radio sat on a table in the den, and we would listen to Roosevelt speak at night. Those chats, I can remember that.
I don't remember chats.
I don't remember understanding them all, but daddy and mother would talk to us about it.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember the Great Depression, really. Well, I remember a feeling of seriousness on behalf of Daddy, because you see, I was only, what, 6, 8 right. years old. Yeah.
Okay. And these memories that you have, are they part of what you've written down in your memoir?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's great. That's something where, as I said before, not everyone gets a chance to do that. And we should, especially when we have children.
We have a lot of time when you get to be old. If you want to do it, you certainly have the time to do it because you're not playing tennis or skiing. You know, I can't even ride a bicycle anymore. So I've got a lot of time I can write, but I can't decide whether I'll start it up again in this fall. I need to, because it gives me great joy to write.
Well, something that gives you great joy is really neat. Writing, going out for walks, So how cold can it be for you to still go out? I know I don't like cold.
It's cold here today. They tell me Laura's coming up the coast. But it's very windy here today. Oh, I'll go out. I'll have to be careful once I get back to Portland because of once it starts to snow, I have to be awfully careful about the walks.
Right.
Because falling is the disaster of the age. Yeah.
That's not something. I fell back in 2009, and for the first time in my life, I really did a number. I broke my left ankle and broke my right foot. So.
No.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you know, in my head, my first reaction was, I'm not that old. But I tripped off. I walked off a stoop the wrong way. Boom. So it can happen, right?
I move quickly. And this is what my children keep saying to me, Mother, think, you know, don't move too quickly because then you lose your balance. Yeah.
So you're going to be 93 next week. And you haven't let the fact that it's a number stop you, which unfortunately so many people do. And then there's the perception by so many others that, oh my, they can't do this. They're so old. You know, they start the way people, especially in this country, treat older people, the elderly, elderhood, adults, older.
I feel that.
It's not right.
No.
It's just not right because look at you. Didn't you just get a new car? Didn't you lease a new car?
Right. I leased a new car. But I'm lucky, remember, I still have my mind. I mean, I couldn't come up with the word mastoid then. But basically, I do still have my mind. My body doesn't work. But I had my knee replaced nearly 2 years ago. And that slowed my walking down a little bit.
Okay. It slows younger people down when they get a knee replacement.
What I think I miss now, other than, well, you know, we as a family used to do a lot of things like ski. I can't do anything like that anymore. But what I miss the most is travel. And I don't think I can travel anymore.
By the time we're going to be able to get back to even doing that, it could be a year, 2 years from now. Who knows? But at least you have your mobility, you have your mind.
I'm so grateful.
You're connecting with new people every day. that's fantastic.
Well, that's wonderful for me. It's just the way reading is.
But the way you connect, the way you reach out to people, it's wonderful for them because so many people have no one to connect with. They don't know how. And with especially seniors who are supposed to really be very, very cautious through this time, that's a very important thing that you're doing for not just yourself, for the other people that you're reaching out to.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful for me. When I was, I think I was 50 years old, so this has been maybe part of me all my life. I said to Bill, I thought I'd like to do something other than teach for a while. And so I started a program in Merrimack Valley, which is where Andover, Lawrence, Methuen is in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And I started a program, I copied Chicago with a program called the Friendly Visitor Program. And I went and got some funding from a foundation because I needed to earn the money. And I was really what would be a coordinator. I would go to churches and find out the names of parishioners in there who were at home. And they were isolated because they couldn't go out. They lived alone, or maybe they lived with a child who was at work all day. And then I would go and find volunteers who would assure us that they would visit. I would partner them up, would visit for an hour each week, minimum. And it was a wonderful, it just worked beautifully. And I did that. And then I did that for, I'm going to say, 5 years. And then the town took it over. And then I decided I would, if the town took it over, I'd have a 2-week vacation. So I decided to go back to school.
Okay.
So I'd have the summer.
You're funny.
So that's when I went to Windsor.
What advice can you tell people as they're getting older, people living in retirement homes, people who think that because it's a number, they just need to wall themselves up and there's nothing they can do? What would you like to tell them?
Well, unfortunately, there's obviously a buildup in their personality before they reach that time. That's obvious that some people are negative by nature. Okay. But I noticed that in my community, my retirement community, during COVID, I was so well aware how depressed a lot of the single women were. And the couples, not as much, because they had each other.
Right.
But these single women who were stuck, couldn't get out except on our property. It's an attitude. I mean, I think it builds, don't you think? You just can't say, now get a good attitude. It's got to build up within you.
It's true.
A lot of people would say your faith. I don't know. Maybe your faith has something to do with it. But I think it's maybe more your personality. If you've been lucky enough to have had a positive, enthusiastic personality, reaching out, as you've just said, I mean, I would think that would make the greatest difference. But I try to, when I see these people, I then try to think in a few days to call them up and say, well, how are you doing?
But, well, that's it. You reach out to people, you give them that connection, especially in this time. As you said, a lot of people were depressed or are depressed. And just one person like you who reaches out can make a world of difference to someone. Because, yes, I believe it is, it's in your head. It's how you think. But unfortunately, because of the attitude of so many where it's, oh, you're old, you're 70, 80, 90, you're old, we're going to put you over here. Your attitude just is such a delight, such positivity that we need.
How do you suggest I try to help somebody like that or try to have them make a difference in their lives? I can only do, the only thing I can do, because I'm so old, is just reach out to them and hope they feel the difference.
But then they do. I bet you anything they do.
I hope so.
Lead by example and look what you're doing. So you're someone to look up to as far as that goes. You're what people who are getting older should take a look at and see that it's possible to live a life full of quality. It's a quality life. It's not a quantity. It's quality.
I can just deal with myself. And I don't mean to say that I'm not depressed once in a while. Life can get gloomy for one reason or another. But I am blessed because I feel well most of the time.
Okay.
And
that's all good. To me.
And I have a grandchild who became engaged this week.
Oh, congratulations.
So good things happen, yes.
Things do. And when things look the darkest, you write, you read, and you reach out. And I'm sure that the people you're reaching out to really appreciate it. They might not know how to show it, but it's that little piece that you're giving someone at that particular moment. And hopefully you get fulfilled out of that too. You've got energy, and energy is huge. You smile, you have energy, and I don't know anyone who is happy 100% of the time.
No, that's awesome.
And to say that you never feel depressed, to me is a falsehood that a lot of people want to tell themselves. But look, we're having a good time right now. So Persis, this is a connection. So I think this is wonderful. You made my day.
I'm very grateful to you. Thank you, Sylvia. It's been a great deal of fun for me. Thank you.
Are you going to go out and walk after this?
I am.
Oh, good for you.
Lily's waiting. And you know, that's something. So many people don't want to have a wheelie, walker.
Yeah.
Because of their pride. And, you know, first I have to have a cane. And then I can walk with a cane, but I can't walk as freely, so I take my walker. But my walker's been my independence. But they don't, a lot of women I know won't have one. Because it's
vanity. They're afraid of looking old.
Yeah, they're kind of ashamed. Yeah,
which is, as you said, it's a shame because look what it's given you independence and mobility
exactly.
You wouldn't have with just the cane.
Well, it's good. You've got years before you have to think about anything like that.
Well, when I had a hip replacement back in 2014, I had a walker for a few days, but I used to forget it. I'd leave it in the middle of the, I'd be in the middle of the room. I'd go, oh my God, I left the walker. Wait a minute. How am I getting back? I'm not very good. I mean, a cane, I would trip over the cane every time I used it. So.
Well, do you think you live your life with your glass half full or half empty?
Oh, full, not half empty, full.
Well, thank you, Sylvia, very much.
Thank you so much. Your birthday is on Monday, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, that's great.
Don't say a word.
I won't tell anyone. Everyone listening, no, we'll cut this part. Persis.
I only know one other person this old now. Except I have two acquaintances at my community who are both 100. They've failed tremendously. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you haven't.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your patience.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day. Have a great walk. Careful.
You too. Thank you, Sylvia. Bye, my dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Upper Deck, the national full-service virtual gym that has reinvented the at-home workout experience. Upper Deck has more than 30 strength and cardio classes a week. Named Best Fitness Club in the Gold Coast for 2020, Upper Deck brings the gym to you with live coaching and motivation. Upper Deck's unique classes are interactive. They have two coaches, one leading your workout and one keeping her eyes on you, providing feedback and encouragement in real time. For a free week of unlimited virtual classes with no strings attached, email info@upperdeckfitness.com and let Upper Deck know you're a Sylvia and Me listener. Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary, inspiring woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, our website, sylviaandme.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you are. I want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary, inspiring woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay safe. This has been a Life of Prey production.